Hardy Kaylee, Celtic music from across the globe and across town. I'm Dave Bagdad, and I'm so glad you could join us. On tonight's program, we'll wrap up our Newfoundland focus with some surprise interviews. Thanks for being here. Cade Mela Falcha. You're very welcome here for this 253rd edition of the Kitchen Party Kaylee. I'm your host, Dave Bagdad, and we have a great show for you. Some things you may know and a lot you probably don't.
Come on, come on. One, two, three. If I ask too much, but I bit my tongue for long enough. I beg your pardon if you please. Come on, come on, come out with me. I've been gone for far too long, and I worried hard that you'd moved on. And I will wish your prayer a song of plea. Come on, come on, come out with me. I spent my whole life waiting for tonight, running with the devil in the middle of the deep dark sea. I hope you don't mind if I ask you once or twice. Come on, come on, come out with me. Oh, come on, come on, come out with me. There's a band of gypsies rolling through. They've been building up since half past two. Oh, come on, come on, come out with me. We're gonna all buy a dress so fine. We're gonna have ourselves a time. We'll go once in a 1, 2, 3. Oh, come on, come on, come out with me. I spent my whole life waiting for the night, running in the devil in the middle of the deep dark sea. I hope my chains ain't come and gone. So I'm down on bended knee. Come on, come on, come out with me. Oh, come on, come on, come out with me. I spent my whole life waiting for tonight, running from the devil in the middle of the deep dark sea.
That, of course, was Alan Doyle with Come Out With Me, the lead track from his 2017 album, A Week at the Warehouse. And I'm glad you've decided to come out with us as we wrap up our three-part look at the Celtic music of Newfoundland. We're focusing tonight on Newfoundland's native sons, Great Big Sea. In 20 years, until the band retired at the end of 2013, they released some amazing music which spanned a lot of stylistic territory. We heard from Alan Doyle last week, telling of the influence of the wonderful Grand Band on what would become Great Big Sea, and here he is again.
While WGB is the mother of GBS, she had quite a few suitors before her baby was born. When my teenage years hit, I, like so many young fellows my age, fell under the spell of hair metal bands like Van Halen and Whitesnake, as well as sexy rockers like Pat Benatar and songwriters with gun bands like Billy Joel and John Cougar. Meanwhile, when Bob Hallett became a teen, he loved early British punk and its near antithesis, New Wave. And not too far down the road in the East End of St. John's, young Sean McCann idolized Christy Moore, Bob Marley, and the Police. We had no idea at the time, but when the three of us finally met in 1992, we would bring all these improbable musical roots together. Traditional shanties and Catholic hymns, hair metal and punk, Celtic folk and reggae, to produce the wave of sound we came to call Great Big Sea.
Alan Doyle, in an excerpt from his 2014 book, Where I Belong. And now we'll have a rare recording of Ordinary Day, as recorded live at the Tønder Festival in Denmark in 2004. Check it out now on The Kitchen Party, Kaylee.
Oh, yeah. God bless from a Great Big Sea from Newfoundland. Nothing ordinary about these days. I've got a smile on my face, and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know. Yeah, I win, sometimes I lose. I've been battered, but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, hey, 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 it's just an ordinary day. It's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, some sorrow. It's a double-edged knife, but there's always tomorrow. You know, it's up to you now, deep sea or swim. Just keep the faith out of your ship, we'll come in. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, hey.
Great Big Sea there with Ordinary Day, as recorded live at the Tønder Festival in Denmark in 2004. Featured there were founding members Alan Doyle on guitar and vocals, Sean McCann on boron, and Bob Hallett on button accordion. I'm afraid I've been a little coy about the identity of our guests for the evening. Well, it's time to let the cat out of the bag. I invite you now to sit back and enjoy my recent conversation with Alan Doyle himself, exclusively on The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
Well, it is a huge pleasure for me to welcome you to our very, very humble airwaves.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit first about your musical upbringing.
Oh, I was very lucky, Dave. I was born in a little fishing town on the southern shore of Newfoundland, and my family were the family band in Petty Harbor. You know, they were the town band. My mother was the piano player and the accordion player and the organ player in the church, and my father was a singer, and my uncles were the guitar players and the drummers and the bass players, and I was really born into it, literally. And, you know, people say they learned their lessons the hard way, and I always say, well, I learned most of my musical lessons the easy way. It was great.
So tell us about the out-of-oil parties.
Oh, a common thing in Petty Harbor, where I grew up, was kind of a little bit of an isolated community. And, you know, when money was tight, especially, you know, or if it was a bad storm, or if you had an oil furnace and you were running it at a low amount of oil, you might run out. And I think in most places, when you ran out of oil, it was probably going to be a cause for concern. But, of course, in my home, it was a real cause for celebration, because then we'd have to stay in the kitchen, and Mom would put blankets up to the doors and open up the door of the electric oven and let that heat the kitchen for a while. And we'd end up hanging out in there for the better part of the night, because it was the only place warm enough, and the best way to get through that would be singing a few songs here, there, and everywhere. So I feel really lucky. It was a great way to make the most of what could have been a drag.
And of course, music was very important even in bringing your folks together originally.
Yeah, I wrote a little song on the new record called Somewhere in a Song, and it's really about my mother and father and the out of oil parties. And it starts with a quote from my father when asked once, you know, how he and Mom got together, and he said, well, it was simple. She could play and I could sing. And that's the truth. It was a marriage made over a piano, probably.
Well, let's give that a listen right now from Alan Doyle's great new album, A Week at the Warehouse, Somewhere in a Song, on The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
It was just a simple thing. She could play and he could sing. And when he offered her a ring, she offered him a smile. And with nothing to their names but a melody to play, they sang the cold away. And somehow all the while, they're making something out of nothing. When the winter nights were long, but come what may, they found a way. Somewhere in a song, somewhere in a song. And the tunes that they performed gave them shelter from the storm. And the waltzes kept them warm when the drums were all but dry. And the harmonies grew strong when the children came along. And somehow, in a song, a family survived. By making something out of nothing, when the winter nights were long, but come what may, they found a way. Somewhere in a song, somewhere in a song. When they finally laid their heads, made a ballad for a bed, and it held them till the dawn. For with notes and words,
by making something out of nothing. When the winter nights swell out, come what may, they found a way somewhere in a song, somewhere in a song, somewhere in a song, somewhere in a song.
We're continuing to visit with Alan Doyle. That was Somewhere in a Song. And Alan, one of the things that struck me in your new book, A Newfoundlander in Canada, was the notion that you and your parents were born in the same place, essentially, but you were born in two different countries.
Yeah, in the weirdest twist of history. My father, for example, was born in Petty Harbor, Newfoundland. I was also born in Petty Harbor, Newfoundland, about 20 years later than Dad, but we're from different countries. My father was from the Republic of Newfoundland, which was a British colony. But of course, in 1949, Newfoundland voted by a very narrow margin to join the country of Canada and become its most recent province. And of course, a lot of the people, especially the people where I'm from, didn't vote to join Canada. They voted otherwise, you know. So my grandfather, for example, and a lot of people of his era would not have voted to join. And I was born into this odd, you know, I kind of liked Canada, but I saw it on television, you know. I thought it was a cool enough place with hockey and fiddle playing and stuff. It looked all right to me. But people from my grandparents' generation kind of resented it. And then people from my parents' generation were kind of just confused by it. And it was because it was so far away, right? I mean, you know, might as well have been Malta. It's some place, an airplane ride or a long, 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 long drive and a long, 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 long ferry ride away from here. And if you grew up in Petty Harbor, where you had out of all parties and we didn't have a car, I mean, that might as well have been Spain. It's just like, but apparently I'm part of that, you know. So it was just a bizarre thing. And in retrospect, you know, I wasn't sure what any of that meant. And I didn't spend a lot of time wondering about it either. To be honest with you, we were too happy doing what we were doing. But in my young sort of adulthood, I became really curious about Canada, and I wanted to see it. And that's why I was so delighted when Great Big Sea started, and I got a chance to see the country I was from out the window of a band van.
So it's now been a little over 4 years since Great Big Sea retired, and you certainly have not been one to let the grass grow under your feet since then, with a couple of albums, a couple of books. It seems like you've sort of taken the time since then to look backward as far as the books are concerned, but also look forward as far as your music is concerned.
Yeah, I've never really thought of it that way, but that's a fair assessment, I suppose. I mean, music for me is always about what's next. You know, I have a good friend in the music business. He always says, that's the most important word in the music business, next. You know, what are you doing next? You know, where are you going? What's the next thing? There's an energy to that, and I love it. It's an odd time, now that you put it that kind of way, in that right when I'm sort of starting this whole new venture as a musician, being a part of the book world kind of became thrust upon me, if you will. I mean, they came to me looking to write a book. I never ever thought I would write one. And now I'm started my third book. And the two books I did were very sort of rear view mirror kind of books, you know, and like telling stories mostly about the stuff that I've managed to been lucky enough to be in the middle of. And I love it, actually. Now that you mention it, it's a cool way to stay in the future and the past at the same time.
Well, you mentioned looking back and how lucky you've been in a lot of ways. One of the stories that I really love is Cutting Out Tongues.
Yeah, it sounds odd, doesn't it, when you say it? I actually thought about calling the book, Can I Have Your Tongues? Because that's what we would say when the boats would pull into the wharf, right? The fishermen would come in full of codfish, and we'd want to cut the cod tongues out of the, you know, bartering with the fishermen for helping them with the boats and cleaning tables and that kind of stuff. We would shout en masse, sometimes dozens of us, Can I Have Your Tongues? It's just, and the editor lady in Toronto said, Alan, we cannot call your book, Can I Have Your Tongues? it reads like some kind of cannibalistic thing or something. But it was really fun. I mean, I don't know if it was practiced a lot in the northeast part of the U.S. It's possible, I suppose, that there are tongue-cutting stories in Maine or somewhere. It's kind of a very specific thing where the tongue tongue of a codfish is really the bottom part under what you would call a cod throat, or the tongue happens to come with it, but it's really a soft piece of cod that if you're clever enough with a knife, you can get out, and it's very labor intensive to get, but it's very tasty and almost like a scallop. It kind of looks like that. And it was kids' work, and the kids would gather en masse on the wharves in Petty Harbor and all over Newfoundland when I was a kid to cut out tongues, and you'd make sometimes 10, 20, 40, 50 bucks a day sometimes, and this is in the early 80s or late 70s, selling cod tongues to whoever wanted to buy them, and they're kind of a delicacy. But of course, that was all fun and good, but the camaraderie of being down there with all your buddies, working with the older fishermen who were like superheroes, you know, was really the fun part. And then we were participating in the economy of the town as 10-year-olds. We went to work and learned how to work as a team, learned how to sell as 10-year-olds. It's like, what a gift in retrospect. The only other place I've ever seen it kind of celebrated is the southwest coast of Norway. There are tongue-cutting stories and tongue-cutting culture up there as well, so Newfoundlanders and Norwegians all together.
But so far as we know, no Norwegian has written a song about cutting out tongues.
Not that I know. Myself and my friend Con O'Brien, I think we have the only tongue-cutting song ever in the world.
Let's give a listen to that. This is Not for the Money Alone, performed by the Irish Descendants, here on The Kitchen Party, Cayley.
Done all that I can, tried every job under the sun. How I dearly enjoyed when yearly us boys convened for the cutting out tongues. It was the thrill of my life when I first held a knife and was told I could join in the gang. Making cash of my own with a bucket and stone makes a lad feel like more of a man. From daylight to dark, the work it was hard, especially considering our age. But when I was a kid, that's what everyone did on the beach and the wharf and the stage. We'd rush and we'd hurry through old guts and dirty. They were slippery and smelly old days. Money we got when the tables were top, though I think we earn more than our pay. It's not for the money alone we whetted and sharpened at home. With an old knife and steel at the tables we need, it's not for the money alone. Of that place on hot summer days was hard on the senses of some, but I never minded. My nose had been blinded by a grand time and work getting done. Now there's no smell at all from the spring to the fall, no loads to the gunnels to cheer. I look at my son and I think of the fun that he'll never have around. It's not for the money alone we wetted and sharpened and honed. With an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone. Get me wrong, not everyone longs to join me as I reminisce. But just to be clear about what I'm stating here, it's not just the dollars I miss. It's that boys seldom rove down the banks to the cove. Young lives are no longer entwined. For to sharpen and hone o'er the lather and foam with a bail and a steel and a knife. It's not for the money alone we wetted and sharpened at home. With an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone we wetted and sharpened at home. With an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone.
We're back now with our chat with Alan Doyle, and that was a song co-written by Alan and Con O'Brien from the Irish Descendants, Not for the Money Alone.
Thanks for playing that. Thank you so much. That was great. Con and the Irish Descendants were one of the first bands to really start touring heavily across Canada and even down here in the U.S., and so they were great friends, and I got to produce a record for them and write a couple of songs with Con, and that's one of them, and I honestly think we might have the only tongue-cutting song on earth. I should record it.
So, with all the traveling that you've done and all the different parts of the world that you've seen in the last almost 25 years now, Newfoundland is still home to you. I wonder if you could talk for a moment about the inspiration that you still continue to draw from being a Newfoundlander.
I just love it. You know, I love being a part of something that's still unique and of itself and out in the middle of the ocean and where the weather's not always great and we kind of keeps you a bit hardy. And, you know, it has songs that are of itself and stories that are of itself and accents that are of itself. And I like that part. And one of the weirdest things whenever I'm asked, you know, about why do you still live in Newfoundland, the strangest answer is the truest answer. And the answer is, it's never even occurred to me to live anywhere else. Now, how weird is that? You know, maybe if you say that the top 30 most amazing cities in the world, right? I've probably been to 15 or 16 of them, or maybe 20, and it's never crossed my mind, even with a bit of economic success that I've had, to go live in one of them. And that's just delusional, isn't it?
So what's ahead for you now? What's the next 6 to 12 months look like for you?
Well, this Come Out With Me tour that we're in the middle of right now really rolls until the end of the year over the summer. And then into the fall, we have another run back down here in the U.S. and a little bit in Canada. And then right after Christmas, we have another leg that takes us to the Deep South and into the second quarter of 2019. There's a couple of things internationally that we want to do, and there's talks of Australia and the UK and Europe. And then somewhere in there, I got to write a new book, and I got to figure out what that's going to be about. And I think you've just convinced me. I've been dabbling with the idea of the next musical project being a thing called Newfoundland Songs. Really, there could be some traditional songs, but it like, could be songs like Not for the Money Alone, for example, that I forgot about that one, to be honest with you. And I was saying, like, I could write some new songs about things that are unique to Newfoundland, and I kind of forgot that I already had at least one. So, you know, next, man. It's all fun. It's all good.
Well, I think the list of things that you could write about that are unique to Newfoundland would be a pretty extensive one.
It certainly would, yeah. It'd be funny to do one just about, like, dialect and language and place names and all that. That'd be fun. It's a unique, wonderful little place, and I'm proud to be from there.
So maybe the next book will be A Newfoundlander in the U.S.?
I don't know. I mean, one of the things that I chatted to the book people about was going backwards even further, maybe just trying to discover how Newfoundland came to be in the first place. My God, what strange, twisted delusion that people have when they got on a boat in Waterford and they came to the rocky shores of the southern shore of Newfoundland and they got off and went, ah, this is awesome. Like, who did that? Left south coast of Ireland and showed up on the southern shore of Newfoundland with the fog and the wind beating on the back of your neck and going, yeah, this is for me right here. Yeah, definitely. This is great. Who was that? Which Doyle ancestor was that? I want to meet him. <It's> like...
And so, of course, if people are interested in buying the book and buying the CD or learning about your upcoming shows and other activities, they can do that at Alan Doyle, that's alandoyle.ca, including your merchandise store, which has got a pretty snazzy ball cap that I've got my eye on.
Out of way.
Well, Alan, it's been delightful to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, man. All good. I'm grateful for the chat, man. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Cheers.
Part 3 of my conversation with Alan Doyle. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Enough talk for the moment, I think. Let's have some music. We'll go back to 1997 for a track from Great Big Sea's third album, Play. We've been pretty Doyle-intensive so far this evening, so now we'll hear Greenspond, which features the wonderful button accordion of Bob Hallett. Let's check that out right now on The Kitchen Party Kaylee.
mamas white as goats, children in their little boats, women in their petticoats, down from Petty Harbor.
Great Big Sea there with a lively traditional number called Greenspond from their 1997 CD, Play. That track featured multi-instrumentalist Bob Hallett on button box. You'd think we'd have provided sufficient GBS contact with our Alan Doyle interview earlier, but as it happens, I also spoke with Mr. Hallett as well. So let's give a listen right now to my very lively conversation with Bob Hallett, exclusively on the Kitchen Party Kaylee.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to be here. Really excited to be able to have you on the program.
Hey, my favorite topic in the world is myself, so I'm always happy to dig in.
Well, let's talk a little bit about yourself and specifically your musical family.
Well, you know, I grew up in a house that would not surprise anyone, and that music and entertainment was something we did rather than something we bought or consumed. So music was part of my house in the same way that laundry and cooking and homework was part of my house. It was just part of the fabric of the family and of the neighborhood and of the community. So I was lucky enough to grow up in an environment where traditional music was present, but not in a kind of annoying way, you know, like we had to put on a costume and go to the church basement on Sunday. Like, it was just something fun that everybody around me did. And so it was very, very easy to absorb that and pick it up and to become a participant in what was something very important to my family. You know, they, like I said, entertainment was something they did, and they didn't expect to watch it on TV or to go to see it in a concert hall. They felt they were more than adequate.
You've described a little bit of that in your book that we've been enjoying very much, Writing Out the Notes. And one of the things that you talk about at some length in the book is you sort of had a moment where the folk music of Newfoundland became something more than what you just grew up with. It became something that you were interested in at the present and really wanted to pursue.
Well, I mean, the whole book is full of those sort of mini revelations. I mean, Writing Out the Notes is definitely about how music impacts us in small ways. And then when you put it all together, you realize it's kind of your memory bank. But when these things happen at the time, you don't always recognize them as significance. But one that did for me, and one that was I went to see a concert with the Barry McNeils, who are a great Celtic band from Cape Breton, Ireland. Well, I'd heard of, but I'd never seen, you know, then and now, not many bands make it to the end of the world here in St. John's. But I knew who they were, and I went to see them at a club in Halifax, and somehow I wangled my way to a party after. And it was just like the greatest party I'd ever been to in my life at that stage. Full of fiddles and pipes and dancing and amazing songs. And the tunes went on till dawn. And I remember stumbling out of there. And I mean stumbling, thinking, this is it. Like, this is what I'm doing, man. Like, forget everything else. This is what I'm doing. You know, I sort of felt like a Boy Scout who stumbled into his first camp or something. It's like, wow, this is here. And I didn't know it. After that, it was full steam ahead.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because also in your book, you talk about a lot of the other various and wide-ranging influences, things that have caught your ear over the years, ranging from punk rock to the Moody Blues to even the Bay City Rollers.
I've had a very promiscuous listening. Well, I think a lot of people like that, even, you know, really orthodox traditional musicians often listen widely outside that. they played a lot of traditional music, but that's certainly not the term they used, you know, I mean, it's certainly not a distinction that they made. They listened to Elvis songs and, you know, old country music and hymns and just whatever caught their fancy. And the fact that a lot of it was 400 years old and this really distinct cultural tradition, that wasn't important to them at all. They just played it because they liked it, you know. If they didn't like it, they wouldn't have bothered. And I found that good music to be found in many, many places.
Well, your Great Big Sea bandmate, Alan Doyle, has spoken in awe about your ability to pick up instruments and just find the perfect sound to achieve whatever was needed at the moment. How was it that you came to the accordion and the whistle and the fiddle and the bouzouki and all of these other things?
Well, for me, it wasn't so much about learning new instruments as it was about finding different colors on the palette, to use an artistic metaphor. Or like a carpenter, you know, after every carpenter I know has hundreds of chisels, and you're like, well, you know, why do you need all these different ones? Because they all do something slightly different, and having exactly the right tool allows them to do exactly the right thing. And that's what I was with instruments. You know, I'd hear a sound that I wanted to make, or I'd hear a sound on someone's record, and I'd go, wow, that would be perfect, or I wish I could do that. And then I'd poke around and find one, or I'd get someone to show me a little bit. Off I'd go. For me, it always seemed very simple. You know, music for me was something I knew with my head, not in my hands, you know. So the goal is to absorb the music, is to have the melodies, the groove, the idea, the lift, all the little nuances in my music. And then the instrument is neither here nor there. That's just a means to the end. The end is music. I found, unfortunately, Dave, that I've never been able to teach anyone else how to do it the way I do it. I think maybe it's a little too singular. Certainly other Newfoundland musicians I know thought of it that way, because they didn't make the distinction between instruments either. They just saw everything as just different colors on the canvas. But, you know, when you come out of an orthodox music sort of teaching environment, the sort of stuff people do in schools and colleges, it's all about mastering the text. You know, it's about getting as close as possible to this ideal. Where Newfoundland music has no ideal. Like, it's like the idea is the energy, the spirit of it, and things like that. So there's no sort of perfect way to play it. And because of that, you're allowed to experiment. You're allowed to play around it. You're allowed to make it fun more so than purposeful.
Well, that's interesting because it really sets up a distinction between Irish and Scottish music and other Celtic musics like Cape Breton fiddle music, where the energy is certainly there, the drive is certainly there, but there's a lot of attention paid, either consciously or unconsciously, to authenticity. And it sounds like what you're talking about is something that's a bit apart from that.
Well, the thing that really separates the Newfoundland players and Cape Breton players, even though they come from the same cultural roots, don't have a lot of vocabulary in common, because Cape Breton tradition is so orthodox, where the Newfoundland one is so diverse and improvised. And even though Irish music is a powerful strain in Newfoundland music, it's been altered and changed a lot here, you know, just because the way we play it is so undisciplined. Because what's important in Newfoundland music is entertainment. You know, getting people to dance is more important than doing the perfect rendition of Lord Montgomery's reel or whatever. They're not so concerned about the approach as the result. We're very results-oriented here in Newfoundland.
Well, in addition to all the great traditional music that's come from Newfoundland, there are a lot of really great contemporary bands that sort of take that tradition in a little bit further direction. And since Great Big Sea's retirement, you've actually started managing some of those bands. What's that been like for you?
Managing is interesting. You know, particularly for me, as someone who, like, Great Big Sea didn't retire as I wanted to. It wasn't like I wanted not to be doing it, but the next best thing is to help someone else do it. The thing about management you have to remember is that it's not your band. So the goal has to be to facilitate their goals and their ideas and to try to help them get it on a bigger stage. So the skill of the job for me is to find ways to make that happen and ways to make that productive and then move it forward. It's a different job, but to me it's all aspects of the same thing, you know, trying to create something lasting and brilliant and great.
Tell us about the bands that you're currently managing.
The Baron Mills, probably Newfoundland's finest working Newfoundland band. They specialize in Newfoundland dance music, which is an arcane section of Newfoundland music, but they've really dug into the roots of the music and created some amazing stuff. And I work with a band called the Swingin' Bells now, sort of a more diverse performers, but again, firmly rooted in traditional music. I work with a singer-songwriter called Joel Thomas Hines, who's a bit more of a dirty old rock and roll guy, you know, but still has that energy. And we do a lot of small stuff, too, with other artists along the way, sort of single-project stuff. A lot of the artists in Newfoundland aren't career-oriented. They're not really necessarily interested in going on their own and becoming the sort of touring entity that Great Big Sea was. They just want to put out a record. They want to do some gigs. So a lot of the time I find myself just doing that, helping them get one thing done, rather than, you know, making these kind of lifelong commitments that management calls for.
Well, with music being so much a part of who you are as a person, since Great Big Sea's retirement, how are you scratching that itch as far as being able to play yourself?
Well, I play with a bunch of different people here, you know, I own a pub where there's sessions all the time, so sometimes I'll come down and play that just to keep the tunes in working memory. I play with a band called The Planks. They've been together 20 years. The accordion guy retired, he got so old, so they asked me to play button accordion. That's a different band. I started playing button accordion while this band, it sounds like Rush, kind of, you know, swirls around me. And I do the odd solo gig, you know, where I do some of the material I've written, some of the traditional music I love, and some of those Great Big Sea songs that I perform, et cetera, et cetera. And these days, a lot of the time, honestly, I'm working in musical theater, often as a composer and musical director with Newfoundland-oriented things, or as I was with the Come From Away. I work with them, sort of helping them develop a very authentic Newfoundland flavor to the music. And I got several other productions as well in sort of various stages, which I'm, you know, responsible for, or partially responsible for.
So for people who are not really familiar with the traditional music of Newfoundland, what would you want them to know about it?
Well, I think the first thing I was telling you about my family, and that music is something you do, not necessarily something you watch, you know? And the essence of Newfoundland music is the participation. It's the fact that it's something that everyone does together. You don't watch the guy sing, you sing with them. You don't watch them dance, you dance with them. You clap with them, you laugh with them. So Newfoundland music, in its essence, brings people in. It doesn't shut them out. It doesn't preach to them. It wants them to participate in the evening. The essence of Newfoundland music is fun. Everything I do has that fun in it. And everything I do for people, everything I manage, everything I've worked on, you know, like the famous Come From Away production, it's all about bringing the fun and energy of Newfoundland music to a bigger stage.
So having spent 20 years with Great Big Sea, how would you assess Great Big Sea's legacy at this point?
It's tough to say, because, I mean, for me, it's something I sort of live every day, so it doesn't feel like this thing in the distant past, you know? I mean, the biggest thing we did in Newfoundland is we raised the bar. What before was an idea suddenly became a reality. And for every other band, you know, every guy picking up an accordion or a tin whistle in Newfoundland now, they could see a professional path forward that didn't exist before. So that's a big one. I mean, in terms of the music itself, our style was unique. We deliberately set out to create a mix of acoustic, pop, and Newfoundland music that had not been done before. Bands either played purely Newfoundland music or they were sort of rock and roll bands with a fiddle. So we tried to find a way in between that, embrace what we loved about traditional Newfoundland music, but still was very commercial and popular. That style, like I said, it didn't exist before us, but now I'd say it's more the template than the other way around. So, but my favorite legacy is the fact that we recorded over 100 traditional songs. We worked very hard to find songs that either had not been recorded before or had been recorded very, very little, and bring them into the public eye. And it's been enormously satisfying to see songs like Excursion Around the Bay that didn't exist outside Darrell Powers' family become part of the worldwide canon. And to know that we were the ones that did that, that was worth a few months sitting in airports.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for taking the time to be our guest here today, and we wish you the best of luck with all of your many upcoming musical endeavors.
Hey, thanks very much for talking to me today.
My conversation there with Bob Hallett, the multi-instrumentalist, singer, and songwriter from Great Big Sea, now primarily working as a band manager and music consultant. I was casting about for something special to play to feature Bob, so what we're going to do is a bit of a departure for us, in that we'll be hearing music from a Tony-nominated Broadway show. A bit of background first. I'm sure you'll recall the terrible events of September 11, 2001, when due to the terrorist attacks in New York and D.C., all air traffic to and from the U.S. was grounded, with planes already in the air being diverted to whatever airfields were available. This meant that the small town of Gander, Newfoundland, found itself host to 38 planes carrying 6,600 passengers. Gander's residents opened their schools, their churches, and even their homes to the stranded travelers. They fed, watered, housed, and entertained all of these thousands of strangers for a week until flights resumed and the travelers could get on their way. 10 years later, in September 2011, a reunion of sorts was held in Gander involving hundreds of those affected passengers, pilots, and flight crew. Their stories were collected and ultimately turned into a musical show called Come From Away. The show was, as I mentioned, nominated for a 2017 Tony Award for Best Musical, and it continues to be a big hit on Broadway. Not only does it represent the most significant penetration of Newfoundland into American mainstream culture, but our friend Bob Hallett was on hand as Newfoundland Music Consultant. Let's hear a couple of selections now, the opening number, Welcome to the Rock, and a band showcase called Screech Out. So here we go now with Come From Away on the Kitchen Party Kaylee.
On the northeast tip of North America, on an island called Newfoundland, there's an airport. It used to be one of the biggest airports in the world, and next to it is a town called Gander.
Welcome to the Rock if you come from away. Huh? You probably understand about a half of what we say. Yeah. They say no man's an island, but an island makes a man.
Especially when one comes from one like Newfoundland. Welcome to the Rock!
That morning, I'm in the classroom. It's It's our first day back, and the school buses are on strike, so I'm covering for Annette, who's running late.
Sorry, Beulah. How's the kids?
Not exactly thrilled to be inside on such a gorgeous day. So I told them we'd only have a half day this morning, and they were quite pleased, until I told them we'd have the other half in the afternoon.
Welcome to the wildest weather that you've ever heard of,
where everyone is nicer, but it's never nice above.
Welcome to the farthest place you'll get from Disneyland.
Fish and chips and shipwrecks.
This is Newfoundland.
Welcome to the Rock, an Islander. I am an Islander.
That morning, I'm in my car. The kids cross Airport Boulevard to get to school. And that time of day, people are in a little bit of a rush to get to work and stuff. So, normally, I sit there and run my radar.
Whoop, whoop.
And if they're speeding, I'll stop them and write out a warning ticket. I'll write STFD. Slow the f*** down.
Welcome to the land where the winter strikes to kill us, and we said,
we will not be killed.
Welcome to the land where the waters try to drown us, and we said,
we will not be drowned.
Welcome to the land where we lost our loved ones, and we said,
we will still go on.
Welcome to the land where the wind tried to blow,
and we said no.
That morning I drop my kids off at school and head to the SPCA, where I'm greeted by my other kids, all barking and meowing for breakfast and a belly rub. Not that I'm complaining, I love them. But by the time feeding is done, I got to get back to pick up my human kids. So I take just 1 second for myself, and I'm sitting in my car.
I'm in the library.
I'm in the staff room.
And I turn on the radio.
You are here at the start of a moment, on the edge of the world, where the river meets the sea. Here on the edge of the Atlantic, on an island in between there and here.
I'm running my radar when Bonnie comes by. She pulls up and she is waving at me like mad. So I roll down my window and she says,
Oz, turn on the radio.
Slow it down.
Jesus H. Oz, turn on your radio.
Where our story starts,
it's my first day at the station.
Where we'll end the night,
I'm getting coffee for the picket line.
Where we know by heart,
5 minutes to my smoke break.
Every single flight,
I'm off to work at the airport.
Welcome to the park, welcome to the trees, to the ocean and the sky and whatever's in between. To the ones who've left, you're never truly gone. Our candles in the window and the kettle's always on. When the sun is coming up and the world has come ashore, if you're hoping for a harbor, then you'll find an open door. In the winter, from the water, through whatever's in the way, to the ones who have come from away. Welcome to the Rock.
Couple of selections from Come From Away, the Broadway musical telling the story of Gander, Newfoundland, in the days following the 9/11 terror attacks. That was the opening number, Welcome to the Rock, and then a band showcase called Screech Out. We have time for one more selection, and we'll sort of wrap up where we've been the last few weeks. We'll hear an old song called Big Bow Wow, featuring the Dardanelles, with special guests Alan Doyle and Bob Hallett. Let's give that a listen right now on The Kitchen Party, Kaylee.
Sail. The wind was blowing a devil of a gale. All our ringtails set and our baffin was in peak. And the dolphin striker plowing up the deep.
With the big bow wow, tow row row, father all the right all day.
Our captain comes up from down below. He looks aloft and he looks alow. He looks low and he looks aloft, saying, coil these ropes, boys, fore and aft.
With the big bow wow, tower row, father all the right all day.
Back to his cabin he quickly crawls, and unto the steward he loudly calls, go and bring me a glass that will make me cough, for it's better weather here than it is up aloft.
With a big bow wow, tow row row, father all the right all day.
Sailors standing on the deck with the blasted rain pouring down our necks. Not a drop of grub will he to us afford, but he'll dam our eyes with every other word.
With the big bow wow, tow row row, father all the right all day.
There's one thing we sailors crave, for him to find a watery grave. We'll shove him down in a dark, deep hole, where the sharks will have his body
and the devil take his soul. With the big bow wow, tow row row, father all the right all day. With the big bow wow, tow row row, father all the right all day.
The Dardanelles there, joined by special guests Alan Doyle and Bob Hallett, from the Dardanelles' 2011 album, Eastern Light. I hope you've enjoyed our focus on the Celtic music of Newfoundland, and beginning next time, we'll return to our normal programming. We're getting near the end of our show for today. I hope you've enjoyed our time together, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Reach us by email at kitchenpartykaylee, that's all one word, and Kaylee is C-E-I-L-I-D-H, at gmail.com, by Twitter at @KPC_radio, or through our Facebook page. You can find podcasts and playlists from all of our shows at iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and at kpc-radio.com. For our final track this week, we'll hear a Newfoundland classic from Great Big Sea, Rant and Roar. Until next time, I am your host, Dave Bagdad, and I thank you for listening. We'll see you here again on Sunday at 10 p.m. right after the folk sampler. Slán Ogat.
We'll rant and we'll roar like true Newfoundlanders. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below, until we strike bottom inside the two sunkers, when straight through the channel to Tazlow we'll go.
I'm a son of a sea cook, I'm a cook and a trader. I can dance, I can sing, I can reef the main boom. I can handle a jigger, I cuts a fine figure whenever I gets in a boat standing room.
We'll rant and we'll roar like true Newfoundlanders. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below, until we strikes bottom inside the two sunkers,
when straight through the channel to Toslo we'll go.
Farewell and adieu to ye young maids of Valen, old Darren and Peresk, Foxhole and Brulee.
I'm bound for the westward to the wall with the hole in.
I can't marry a Laura Chioki, I'll be.
And we'll rant and we'll roar like true Newfoundlanders. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below until we strike bottom inside the two sunkers. We're straight through the channel to Toslo we'll go. We'll rant and we'll roar like true Newfoundlanders. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below until we strike bottom inside the two sunkers. We're straight through the channel to Toslo we'll go.
You've been listening to The Kitchen Party Cayley on WICR 88.7 FM. We hope that you'll join us again next Sunday at 10 p.m. The Kitchen Party Cayley is written, produced, and hosted by Dave Bagdad and was recorded at EMAS Studios in Broad Ripple. The Kitchen Party Cayley is a Fortnite production. Thanks for listening.